Well, Steve, thanks. And, you know, it's always good chatting with you, and it's always good to chat with you about some golf.
Yeah, let's talk about some golf, because it is fun to wake up and watch golf in the morning,
yes,
which is the Open Championship. Jordan Spieth was obviously tremendous today, as was Louis Oosthuizen. In what you've been able to gather about Spieth, what has allowed him to turn this corner and get himself really back on a contending track?
You know, I think he, Steve, he was always very open about, and sometimes too much of an open book, but he's always very open about where his game was and his confidence level was. And even when he started to turn the corner, he had said that, you know, he just still didn't think that he was there. And he said as long as he keeps putting himself in contention, that then, you know, on a regular basis, then he'll feel he is there. And he basically, that's what he has been doing. Now, you know, he did win. He's had six top tens, I think, since March, which is more than anybody else on tour. Couple of those, you know, couple second places and a third. We've seen him have three 54-hole leads. He only finished off one of them. But he's put himself up there. And that despite being an errant driver. You know, his driving statistics aren't very good. But when he's, you know, rolling the potato and putting well, then that's made up for a lot. And that's what he did today, too. He hit it okay. He's such a good iron player. And that's a big key with him. Even with his wayward driver, you know, he's as good, if not better, than anybody else on tour with his iron game. And his proximity to the pin is has always been, for the most part, among the best on tour. So I think, you know, getting some of that confidence back, he's still so darn fidgety out there. He makes you nervous because he's always talking to himself after every shot. I think he expects perfection. But I think that's what drives him. Is he's always, I don't want to say he's never satisfied, because that's not the case, but I think he's always looking to get a little bit better, but also believing in what he does. And he's just so good for the game. I mean, you know, take Tiger out of the mix and take Mickelson out of the mix, and nobody in America moves the needle or draws bigger crowds, even Bryson DeChambeau, than Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy has that impact. DeChambeau has it for a different reason, but Jordan Spieth is just so good for the game. As you know, I'm a big fan of his as a person and as a player, and I thought he would do well here because it's a type of golf course where you have to be able to think your way around, but more importantly, be creative as you're thinking your way around, and we saw that today.
What has allowed Oosthuizen to be in the thick of every major this year? Now, he's a former major winner himself, but what do you think has allowed him to do that? What have you seen?
Yeah, and, you know, Steve, he's won the Grand Slam of runner-up finishes. He's finished runner-up six times in a major, and including once in each of the four. So he's working on a second Grand Slam of runner-up finishes. You know, when he blew away the field at St. Andrews, back in 2000 or whatever year that was, I mean, it was just a dominating performance, and it was amazing after he did that he did so little after that. But when the majors come along, you know, a lot of it is his approach. You know, he doesn't get bogged down with too much, and that's reflective in his swing. It's so natural. It's so easy. You know, he's not out on tour playing 25, 28 events. You know, he's selective about where he plays. You know, he's a farm boy. He owns two farms, one overseas and one here in Florida. And he goes and rides his tractor. You know, he has a little bit of that Bruce Litsky in him, who would, you know, when he left tour, would never pick up his clubs till he came back out, whether it was 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, 5 weeks. And I think Louis's the same way. And so his approach, you know, it's a little carefree. Does he want to win? Absolutely. Does it bother him when he doesn't? I'm sure it does. But he just, you know, he just has that type of mental attitude and that approach where he doesn't get bogged down in too much, win or lose, because he knows if he's in contention, eventually he's going to win. Now, that hasn't happened all the time, despite all those runner-up finishes in majors, but he's putting himself there, and so he knows he can go win a major. He knows he can compete because he does it, as we have seen time after time. And I think the funny thing is every major, Steve, you never see him one of the betting favorites. And yet he's always on the board. And I have to admit, even when I start doing my picks, who I like in all these majors, I almost never pick Louis, and I don't know why. Because when the tournament starts, I think, why didn't I put Ustazen in my list of contenders? Because he's always contends, and yet you never see him as an odds maker. You can always get great odds on the guy, and that's what's surprising.
I think because he's not going to be the guy who'll be the absolute longest. He'll hit it long enough, but he won't be the longest guy. He won't be the best putter out there, but he'll putt well enough. He won't be the best iron player, but he'll play his irons well enough. It's because he's not considered the best, I think, in anything that makes you forget him. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that might be, sure, that might be part of it. And I think the fact that he hasn't finished it off. And we're seeing Tommy Fleetwood, to a different degree, kind of fall into that same category. After a while, they're all saying, yeah, this guy's going to win, this guy's going to win, this guy's going to win. And the more times that happens and then they don't, then they start to fall off the radar a little bit. Xander Schauffele still gets the attention, despite the fact he hasn't won. And at some point, he's going to have to win. But he's so many top 10 and top 5 finishes in like the last dozen majors. He's still a guy who's in everybody's office pool, if you will, or is among the top 5 betting favorites typically. Justin Thomas has only one major, and that was the PGA. Now, he has a Players' Championship, and he has a lot of tour victories. But, at some point, now he has plenty of time on his side, of course, but at some point, those guys are going to have to, like Schauffele in particular, they're going to have to start winning. And otherwise, they'll kind of fall off that betting radar, if you will. And it's, like I said, that's what you see now with Tommy Fleetwood. That's what happened to Lee Westwood. One of the best players, won the Order of Merit so many times. He was Europe's best player, but he couldn't win majors. A lot of top fives, a lot of top threes, but he didn't win. And so people thought, he can't win. And then, of course, we saw that with Sergio, and then Sergio goes and wins. So you have to be able to finish, and Louis at least finished one time. But so many runner-ups, but I'm always just amazed that he's never considered one of the betting favorites. Even now when he's doing what he's doing, you would think he'd be up there with some low odds. And he just not. You could really get some good odds with Louis Oosthuizen.
Well, over years, a guy that would have fallen into that category is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's another one. That's right.
Yeah.
There's another one.
He shot 100 open. So, at least he's got himself on the board.
And Ricky has a Players' Championship. So they always fall back on that. But there's no question. And look, the guy makes millions in endorsements. And God bless him because he's a nice guy and he has great appeal. And the young kids love him. As my old friend Vino Cook used to say, he's all hat, no cowboy. And, at some point in time, Ricky's going to have to win a major. And you know what? I don't see that happening. I'm not saying it won't, but I don't see that happening anytime soon, although you'd like to see it happen because he's a good guy and everybody likes him.
I love the fact you quoted Vino.
Oh, Vino. Vino's the greatest. I'd quote more of Vino, but some of it we can't use on the show.
Oh, you and I know that.
Right.
You and I know that. The Cobra Rapids.
When I used to call Vino, Steve, he would always answer the phone and say, McGarrett 5-0. That's how he answered the phone. And, he didn't know who was calling. He answered his landline phone,
Oh, my goodness. Over in the what? He stayed in what? The Bigelow?
Yes.
The hotel? Yeah. The Cobra rep cannot be enamored today with Bryson DeChambeau. he had 4 out of 14 fairways today. He spent a lot of time in the high grass today trying to avoid Lyme disease. And then he ripped his driver. not exactly what you, I mean, he parts ways with his caddy. Now he's ripping his rep.
I think that's why some of the people don't like Bryson. Obviously, he's a sideshow that people like to come see. You know, he tries to be courteous to the fans. You know, he waves, you know, nods. You know, he makes a bogey. They clap. He still gives them the high sign. And does, you know, but he, there's different things that he says and he does that make it sound, well, they sound like excuses. And I think that's, I think those are the things that kind of turn off some of the players who maybe don't like him. I mean, you know, Bryson's worked very hard to change the way, not only the way he plays, but maybe the way the game is played. And we saw other players try to emulate it, much to their disappointment, because it didn't work, including Rory. But, you know, hey, Bryson has U.S. Open title. He has six PGA Tour titles. And, you know, he's a contender. But I think it's when some of those things happen like that, I think it turns, you know, Steve, I think it turns people off.
Well, I think that something that to me is really important when it comes to being a contender in major championships, so you can't be a, quote, one-trick pony. I think you have to find, especially in this championship, I think there's just multiple ways to win, and you have to find multiple ways to win. That's why I like Spieth so much, because I think Spieth finds ways to win.
Well, and he's shown it by winning, you know, three of the four biggest majors, including the British Open in 2017, the last American to win it. And that goes to his ability, you know, and he should have. I mean, that three-year stretch at the Masters where he lost to Bubba when he had the lead heading to the back nine, and then the dominating performance the following year, and then when he's leading for 63 holes and then puts it in the water on or 67 holes or whatever it was, and then puts two in the water on 12 that year when Danny Willett won. You know, that stretch of golf there at the Masters, which requires the ultimate in creativity, you know, that just speaks to his talent, and he did it at such a young age. But you know, obviously he can win at different courses, and he has shown that in the biggest tournaments on different courses. You know, go back to the Tour Championship too, where he blew the field away there, and then twice in once in Hawaii, and you know, he probably has as many 8-shot victories other than Tiger than any player on tour, I would be willing to bet. But you know, I think that's why he's so good, because he's so talented, because his game adapts. And you know, you talk about one trick ponies. I mean, you look at like Andy North, who won two U.S. Opens, who's a frequent guest on my show, and I like Andy a great deal. Has two U.S. Open titles. How many guys can say that? But he doesn't have any other victories. Two U.S. Opens. You know, and you know, how do you explain that? How do you explain Orville Moody winning a U.S. Open and never winning another PGA Tour event, you know? And I think you can see somebody, because we saw it with Ben Curtis. We saw it with Darren Clark, you know, unexpected winners. I could see that happening here, too. Guys, you know, who maybe don't think could win, you know, will win. Now, I think some of the English guys have good opportunities. I'm glad to see Justin Rose get off to a good start, because I'd like to see him contend, and I think he will. But I wouldn't be surprised to see an unlikely winner in the British Open, because you see him from time to time, and you've seen him at Royal St. George.
I'm going to ask you one last question, because I'm going to tap into the historical part of this and your relationship with Arnold Palmer. In the United States, Arnold Palmer put the Open on the map, put it back on the map, because he decided to go over, and not only did he go over, he won it a couple times. In your conversations with him over the years, what was it that motivated him to say, you know what, I'm going to do this, because as the Pied Piper, others then followed?
Yeah, I think with Arnold, it was the desire to have his game travel. And you go back to 1960, where he had won the Masters, and he won the U.S. Open. And he thought, I'm going over to the British Open, back when not many American players went. because of the expense, because of the travel. Let's face it, the travel's a lot easier now. It wasn't then. The time change and everything. And Arnold thought, you know, if he wants to be the best, then he's going to go play on a world stage. And the British Open was the oldest of the majors, the most revered, if you will. And, you know, he thought if he wants to be that player, that person, then he's going to go over there and play and win. And he eventually did. The story I love, Steve, in 1960, was it had really not a whole lot to do with Palmer, but it did in this regard. After he wins the Masters and he wins the U.S. Open, he's going over to the British Open again when not many Americans went. So Bob Drum was the old sports writer for the Pittsburgh Press. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to tell the people at the press, hey, look, I need to go to the British Open. This kid Palmer from La Trobe has won the Masters. He's won the Open. He's trying to make it three in a row. I need to go. Well, they weren't going to pay for him to go. So he still went on his own, although I do believe Arnold took him because they were good friends.
Right.
It was Drum who, in 60 at Cherry Hills, who told Arnold after 54 holes they were having lunch. And Arnold says, Drum, do you think I can win? He says, you don't have a chance. And that's when Arnold went out and drove the first green and then came back and won. And he credits Drum for ticking him off by telling him, you know, no, you don't have a chance. And so he went out and won. So now I believe, like I said, that he took Drum to the British Open. Well, sure enough, after the third round, Arnold's trailing Cale Nagel by a shot, the Australian. Yeah. And Drum gets a telegram from the people at the press. It says, need 800 words on Palmer. He sends back, hope you get them. Because he thought, if you're not sending me, I'm not writing about them. And I always remember that story.
Good.
And that's a little sidebar to Arnold going to the British Open in 60.
Yeah, and then Cale Nagel won. Then eventually Arnold beat Cale Nagel.
That's right.
Later. So, yep. What a pleasure. I enjoy it always. Hope you're doing well, my friend.
Yeah, Steve, I am, and it's always good chatting with you, and I hope we can do it again soon.
We'll do it soon again, especially with the Steelers coming up. So we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Stay well, my friend.